You are listening to the Riverfront Church Podcast, a place to explore faith, history, ideas, and more.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Riverfront Church Podcast. We are so glad that you are listening in on this conversation, and we encourage you to be part of the conversation, too. So this episode, we are in conversation with one of our community members who is doing amazing work and inspiring all of us. Scott, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us all about your work?
Sure. And first of all, thanks again, Pastor Emma, for having me on this podcast, and to Ken Grant, who is behind the scenes making things happen. Thank you, sir, for putting this together. My name is Scott Michaels,
and I am here to save the world.
I say that often, and people say, what, you know, even my wife says, Scott, that is absolutely bananas for you to say that. But here's the thing, that is what I am working on. However, my role is to be an inspirer of individuals, to be the people who start to take care of themselves and whoever the person and people and environments are right in front of them. And that if each one of us can just take on the responsibility to be a leader right in our own immediate environment, that will eventually spread, the fire will be lit, and the world will be, quote unquote, saved, or a much better and happier place to live. I do this work through a few different organizations. I have a few different formal jobs. With one is I'm a business owner of The Cause, which stands for Collective Action Urging Social Evolution, which is basically we come together and in action evolve together. I do believe in an evolution of spirit rather than a revolution. And the reason why I make that distinction is because I believe we are revolving through power structures where there's always a person in power and an oppressor and the oppressed. And I am looking to evolve into a world of much more equity and common conversation. So that's where that name comes from. And then I also work with the Bellevue Community Center in their prevention efforts as the chair of the Planet Youth Coalition, which is a coalition about community building around prevention efforts for young people. And then what I'm here today, mostly in the hat for, is my work with Starfish Casters. And Starfish Casters is a nonprofit located here in Delaware, where our mission is basically a flip of what the United Way is. And we are, the United Way is to mobilize the caring power of institutions to help the individuals. And we are about mobilizing the caring power of the individuals to help themselves, the community, and the strangers that they need to rely on. And so within that mission, we have a few different things that we do that are all about connecting people to their own empowerment. And what we're here to talk about today is one of them that's called the Do-Good-A-Thon. And then also the Party, which are two initiatives that we're using to spark service into the hearts and actions of Delawareans. So that was a long answer, but that's who I am and what I do.
I love that. I think it's great. I'm wondering, and this might be a next level sort of question or deeper than you want to get right away, but kind of the criticisms I hear right now about people feeling like, especially because of the pandemic and safety precautions and all of that, they feel like they can't do good, or they can't do good in traditional ways, or they can't go and serve in ways they might normally serve. What is your response to those criticisms and those barriers to service that people are building up?
Well, first of all, I would acknowledge that is, you know, people feeling that way. Everyone has their own comfort levels as we come back together post-COVID or with COVID around. However, right now I can say there are lots of ways to serve from right where you sit, wherever you are. And as a matter of fact, I can connect listeners to that if they go to dogoodathon.com. dogoodathon.com. And then on that webpage, there is a thing that says participant activities. And on there, we have a list of ways that people can actually serve right from their own home, including writing letters to people who are needing them. There's actually there's a reading program where people can read to people who need to be read to. And sometimes it's young people who are in need of mentoring, but it also could be people who just need professional reading done to them. And also on that website, you are going to see a link to the United Way. And the United Way has a volunteer portal that you can get to right here in Delaware, the United Way's Delaware website. And from that portal, there's a lot of different service and volunteer opportunities. And you could actually even tell them through that you would rather have service opportunities that are not in person. So there are a slew of opportunities. And I'm going to also challenge your listeners or ask your listeners that if they know of any other ways to serve from home, to please let us know. But there are resources on the dogoodathon.com website. Also, even in person, there are lots of ways to serve where you don't actually have to have interaction with other humans. For example, this past weekend, there was a Juneteenth festival at the Public Library at Rodney Square. And there was a lot of work needed to be done in setting that up where you could have maintained a very safe distance from people. I'm talking 15, 20 feet, you know, just moving things, carrying things, such like that. And so not all volunteer opportunities happen in closed spaces. Some of them actually can occur with partnerships where you are very safe and sound, but still out in the public serving.
That's awesome. So I realize we jumped way ahead, but I should go back to the beginning.
Sure.
What is your origin story to coming to this work? And I know you're wearing a lot of different hats, but what is your the thing that inspired you or made you want to live into this work at this
time? I love that question. The origin story. I've never heard it said like that.
I'm a big superhero fan, so I love a good origin story.
All right. I am going to talk about my origin story. So I think there's two parts to it. One is that my father was a huge-hearted man. Bless his soul, Tom Michaels up there where or wherever he is. I'm not sure. He once said to me when I was a kid, Scott, if you're ever at a party and you see someone who is not enjoying themselves or seems disconnected or maybe doesn't feel a part of the party, just go up, you know, say, hey, I'm Scott, you know, and see if you can make them feel comfortable and a part of the party. And so I have actually looked back at that moment now as a real aha moment that I basically look at the world as a party. I really do. Life is a celebration. It's a celebration and a party. However, not everyone knows that. Not everyone has been able to experience it in the terms I have. Not everyone feels invited to the party. There's actually even structural ways that people are disinvited to the party. And so what I learned is that if I am going to be working towards making everyone invited to the party, well, there's going to be a lot of community building and social justice along the way. Because obviously you're not going to be able to enjoy the party if you don't feel included, accepted, acknowledged, heard, and so on and so forth. So that is one of the cores. Then later in life, I was already working for a nonprofit and already working at the Ferris School with young men. And I had a contract that I worked with the Delaware Coalition Against Domestic Violence. And in that work, I learned all about what is called courageous bystander or bystander work. And so the idea with that is there was a fellow named Tony Porter from A Call to Men, which is an organization. And he puts it this way. He says 15% of men are abusive, physically abusive. However, 85% are not. And the question is how is it possible that the stats are such that one in three or one in four women are coerced or a victim of violence in America if only 15% of men are the perpetrators. And so what he goes on to say is that we live in a culture that actually perpetuates a lot of the small little micro behaviors that could walk someone into a violent relationship or have someone stay within a violent relationship. And so through that work, I basically learned about, you know, the role of a bystander. And, you know, when you witness something, if you do not intervene, you are essentially agreeing with it. And so from that work, all of a sudden it dawned on me, because of the work I was doing at the Ferris School, was not just with domestic violence, but it was also across many different social issues, bullying, gambling addiction, drug and alcohol addiction. And all of a sudden I realized that many of these issues all were dealt with in the same core of these, how we treat each other, how we look at each other, how we're inclusive. And I would be sent on different trainings. And a lot of them came down to, what is our relationship with ourselves, with each other, our value, how we feel valued. But a lot of them basically was, if you don't intervene in a situation, you allow the situation to grow and continue to get worse. And so it is from those two origin moments, one which is recognizing that I have the privilege of enjoying this life as a party, and I want everyone to be at this party and included with me. How do we get to there? And then two, realizing that if everyone understood this bystander theory, that we, that silence is acceptance, that if, and very important, understood the tool that Dr. King used to talk about, which is darkness does not drive out darkness. Only light can do that. As hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. The reason why I mention that is because we often see things that we disagree with, but if our intervention is coming from a negative tone or a negative place, or is actually adding darkness, fire does not burn out fire. And so one of the things I'm witnessing right now in our society is good, willing minded people who see solutions are actually interacting with other people in very negative ways, or shaming, no forgiveness, unacceptance, pushing out, cancel culture, all of these different ways that we are basically taking the people who we need on our side, who are part of us, we're all one, and thinking that we could somehow push them aside. But true growth will come out of helping those who are not on this tip learn how to be on this tip. And so, you know, if you push someone aside, you have no way of reaching them to have them become a loving heart. And there's an old African proverb that says, those who we expel from the village will burn it down simply to feel its warmth. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so that's, again, another long answer. You're not going to get any short answers from Scott Michaels.
I like it. Love it.
Unless, yeah. You know, when you put those two things together, that was the basically the birthplace of a lot of the work that I do, which is, how do I get people to understand that they have the power to actually influence their life, the life around them, and that in fact, their actions are contagious and their thoughts are contagious. And so one of the, I think, biggest threats that we, a real barrier that we need to talk about to all of this work, is how we speak about the work and what we believe in the work. And just an example is that I've been meeting a lot of environmentalists, young environmentalists in their young 20s, perhaps. And I have actually had them say, and now their goal is to save the planet, but they have said out loud to me, it's too late. They say, I think we've already crossed the point. So now all I'm thinking is that if you're the one who's supposed to be figuring this out for us, and you're telling us it's not too late, think down the line, who is ever gonna say no to a plastic straw again if the environmentalists are telling us it's too late? So instantly it's done. Now we've lost the battle completely. Mm-hmm. So I would rather, if that person believes it's done, I'd rather them lie to us and tell us, we still have time if you do this, because I actually believe in human innovation. We do have time to turn around any cycles if we believe it's possible. However, once we say bullying is occurring, once we accept these social norms and actually call them out as norms, we have instantly given them existence and room to grow. And so with that, I get very, very worried about, again, what the barrier I'm talking about here is our attitude and the way we talk about issues and problems. And that goes along with the last thing I was saying, which is darkness doesn't drive out darkness. We cannot complain our way out of problems. Mm-hmm. There's only solutions. And I'm going to tell you, please, please praise an optimist around you, because not all optimists are wearing rose-tinted glasses. Some of them are actually wearing blood-stained glasses, and their optimism comes out of a need to improve the world. Because what optimism does is it gives us the tool to see the solutions. If we don't think it's possible to get out, we are not going to see the escape route. And so I really want to challenge anyone who thinks in pessimistic terms that optimism is not a fool's game. It is a wise person's tool in order to see solutions. And instead of asking if the glass is half full or half empty, think about what you can pour into it to make it as full as you want it to be.
Can you tell me about a big upcoming event you have celebrating the good that people are doing in the world? Tell us about how we build up to it and how we celebrate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. So we have two amazing tools, and I'm lifting up something as if the audience can see it, but they can't. Two amazing tools happening this summer that you are invited to be a part of. The first one is called the first annual Do Goodathon. I've had to put on my radio voice because you're listening to this. But yes, the Do Goodathon. What is the Do Goodathon? Well, you have heard about marathons where you go around raising money by telling your friends that you will run a certain laps. Well, the Do Goodathon is all about raising positive actions and intentions in Wilmington and beyond. And the way it works is you join the Do Goodathon by going to dogoodathon.com and then click where it says register. And then what you do is you go out doing good acts of service and kindness, and you refer other people to the game. So let me tell you, there are going to be prizes for this, but without thinking about the prizes, let me tell you why we're doing it. And then I'll get to the prizes. We are doing the Do Goodathon because of the exact reasons we've been talking about. Right now, the world is disconnected and people are not sure how to reconnect. We just had a COVID separate us. We've had race issues have challenged our connections, and we have had there's one more big separator that I'm trying to think of that happened within this past year. And so people are trying to think, how do I get involved? How do I get back together? And I do believe everyone wants to make the world a better place, but not everyone knows exactly how to do it. So what the Do Goodathon does is it just sparks a little reason for you to get involved in helping out. And what we mean by that is you can get points in this Do Goodathon for either informal or formal ways of service. So when I say don't worry about the points so much, what I mean by that is we really just want people out there being in public saying, I'm a do-gooder, I'm helping out, and I'm doing it for this period of time, so that those on the sidelines can be invited in. It's basically like being invited to the party that I was talking about earlier. So how it works is that there are four prizes in the Do Goodathon. You have until now, till July 5th, to participate in the Do Goodathon. It is never too late to enter, because the first prize is just a random lottery from anyone who enters. So again, to enter, you go to dogoodathon.com and you click register now. It will ask you for your email, who referred you, and your name. You will then get two emails after that. One just saying, welcome to the game and here's how to play. And then you'll get a second email around July 5th that says, did you have fun playing, and give us your numbers. So you register by putting your name in and referral. If you are referred by someone, you can say that. But that is the second way to get points, is that the second prize is not just a random, but the second prize is for whoever brings the most people to the game. Mm-hmm. So you can also do this as an organization. So Pastor Emma, your church could actually become a team and refer people as a team. As a matter of fact, right now in the lead of referrals for the Do Goodathon 2021 is the Lions Club called the Super Branch Lions Club, which is based around domestic violence, believe it or not, prevention. And they have already referred about 50 people to the game.
Wow.
The next prize is just for whoever says that they did the most amounts of service. And then the final prize is for a group or organization. There is going to be a random drawing for that. So that's another reason to incentivize. If you have a club like a Girl Scouts club, a church, a mosque, a business that you want to encourage them to be service-minded people. And let me tell you, here's the real why, okay? And I'm going to get a little bit silly for a moment. But when I grew up, there's a lot of commercials about drugs. And there was always the drug dealer. And the drug dealer would always say, hey, first time's free, kid. Have a joint or something like that, right? And the idea is, why is the first time always free? Because you're going to get hooked. And I'd hate to say it, but I believe the same thing about service. And we are using the Do Goodathon as kind of that, hey, here's your first little bit of service. Go ahead, kid, pick up a couple cans in front of grandma's house and see how that feels. And then once people get a little taste of serving others, it's the kind of thing that they're going to hunt for more of. And they might find more opportunities to serve in their own neighborhood, or that's where they might connect to some of our partners like the United Way or the LACC or the Public Library or the Brandywine Valley SPCA to find out how can I volunteer more. Or they could join our Lions Club. Now, so that is the Do Goodathon, a contest. It's happening. It's on rolling. It's a very loose contest. But where are we closing the contest? Well, I'll tell you, that's at the second event we have, which is called The Party. That's right. It's called The Party. And what The Party is The Party is on July 10th at the Delaware Contemporary Art Museum from 5 to 8 p.m. That's July 10th at the 5 to 8 p.m. Sunday. In Wilmington. Sorry, I know that I'm on radio, so I have to play a little bit to that. But what is the party? Well, the party is where we're going to announce the four winners. But more importantly, the party is its own event, a celebration of service. So at the party, we will have a DJ. We will have some live music. We will have some food there, like food trucks. And there will be 20 to 25 on-the-spot service opportunities right there. So you basically walk from table to table, and instead of an event where you're getting information, which you will be getting probably from service organizations, but you will have right there on the spot chances to do service, like writing letters to kids who are adjudicated or packing a backpack for a domestic violence victim. And one of the most exciting groups we have coming is the Brandywine Valley SPCA, who are bringing puppies to the party. That is right. That is now a hashtag, puppies to the party. There's going to be live adoptions at the party. And the reason why they're involved is because they're always looking for volunteers to help walk dogs, pet dogs. So there's a lot of, you know, in the world of service, I guarantee you, whatever you love to do in the world, you can use your talent, skill, and passion to serve. If you love to sing, I bet there's someone looking for a jingle for a nonprofit. If you're a graphic designer, I guarantee you there's a nonprofit who needs graphic design work. Again, this is stuff you can do at home. If you like to build things, I guarantee you there is a Habitat for Humanity out there looking for your skills. So just think about what your skills are and now be thinking about how I can serve. But back to the party, July 10th, from 5 to 8 at the Delaware Contemporary. We serve all year together, and now it's time to celebrate together. So full circle, back to my origin story. The party is a very literal version of what we're trying to build year round, which is a celebration of life where everyone is invited, everyone is included, everyone's acknowledged, and everyone is safe, sound, and having a great time.
I think it sounds exciting. It sounds really wonderful. I'm wondering how the work that you are hoping that people will get involved with gives dignity, not just to the one who is serving, but those who are being served. How do you give dignity to both sides of those stories, and how do you hope to encourage that?
Wow, what a wonderful, beautiful question. That only comes from someone who has served before. So you're just revealing a little bit about yourself on there, Pastor Emma.
Thank you.
As with any action, including violence, the perpetrator and the recipient are both affected. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, the reason why I brought it up in that sense is because I do also want to put it out there that even when people are misguided in their love and light and are out there in the world, as misguided as people might be in their anger, we do want to try to bring them back and to also realize that those who are inadvertently hurting people are hurting as well. And that goes back to what we were saying earlier about making space for forgiveness for those people who are doing what we think is wrong right now, is that a lot of people, I believe, will do better if they knew better. So that first part of it is just to say, as we are looking at people who we think are oppressors or people who are being racist, we need to think that there is a level of them that is hurting as well. And that gets hurt when they are violent to us. Now, what is the flip side of this zero and ones? Is that when you are giving and serving and positive to people, not only do you affect the person that you're serving, but also yourself. Now, you talked about the word dignity. Mm-hmm. Well, what I would love, here's what I hope to do with service, is I hope to make it so common that dignity comes with receiving service as highly as it comes with giving service. And the way that I look at it is I call it the net, the human net. And that when I am capable and able, I have the energy, I can sow the net that will catch us. But I know for a fact I will fall, because we all do. And that is me having the dignity to fall into the net of care of other people and say, I need help right now, and be dignified, because I know that I helped build the net. That's part of the dignity, is that it's actually using the collective tool, our collective insurance, if you will. You know, call it insurance, is that, and instead of investing money to make sure that you're going to be covered, invest love and energy in other people's needs, so that when it is time for your needs, that investment has been made and there's your insurance with the community that you've just built. And so I really do hope now, and I kind of feel like it's the kind of thing that you need to experience on both ends. And I do know that some people, when receiving service, can sometimes feel, embarrassment or I don't want to be helped, or some sort of stigma around that. But if we can do anything, let's destigmatize the human condition and just get real that everyone is hurting at all. And we don't have to compare pain. We can use our collective pain to help find collective solutions. And so I really hope by giving people the opportunity with the Do Good-a-thon, or even if you just come to the party, you're going to have service opportunities to do that. But I also hope that those receiving the service will, because with something like the Do Good-a-thon, everyone can serve. It really doesn't matter. So you don't need money to serve. You don't need a home to serve. Quite seriously, homeless people without any money can find ways of serving in the community, and that would help them understand the collective dignity of giving and receiving service.
I'm wondering, too, kind of as a follow-up question to that, is one of the movements that I'm starting to see in some nonprofit world is moving from transactional service, you know, like I'm going to give you socks and now you have socks and look at what I've done, to that relational sort of service that gives dignity, but also can be an ongoing sort of thing. Is this a value to the work that you're doing, and how do you see those ongoing relationships playing out?
That is a trend that is very, very important. Mm-hmm. First of all, there is value in service that is coming from elsewhere, but you know, there is a very much, if you're doing something about us, don't do it without us. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, there should always be a role for whoever you're serving to be a part of the service as well. However, the person who connected us, Mr. Ken Grant, he met me through this thing that we do called the Starfish Exchange. And what the Starfish Exchange is we basically have a story that goes along with an activity. And what the activity has you do is write the name of a loved one on a starfish that becomes a button magnet. And then you color it and you create this beautiful thing. And then you actually have to trade the starfish with a complete stranger. And what this does is it actually has us realize that if you are relying on a stranger to care for your loved one when you're not around, that you are the stranger that's relied on. So the reason why I'm bringing that up is because I believe we can excel right into loving strangers without even having to have the relationship of knowing them. I really do believe that. And so ideally, having an actual relationship with the person you're serving would be a wonderful thing to do and include them in service. And so whenever we do service together, and then we invite whoever we're serving to be a part of the service next time. That's what the Lions Club is all about. So if we go and serve someone who might, you know, maybe they needed a ramp built at their house for someone who just became in need of a wheelchair ramp. Well, while we're there, we're saying, hey, we're doing service over here, you know, if you want to do that, because as I said, everyone has their own role. So that relational works, but what we want to do with Starfish Casters is jumpstart that to have you realize if I love strangers, this is how it's done. And then here we go, ready? This is the latest thing is this. How do you care for a stranger? And what we're realizing is that if you want your loved ones to be cared for, you have to actively care for strangers. But the support, there's two types of support, reactionary support and proaction support. Mm-hmm. Reaction support is when someone falls, you say, hey, let me help pick you up. But proactive support says, hey, you're about to fall, or let me build a structure to make sure that you don't fall, or hey, here's something that you could learn that'll make sure you never fall again. Mm-hmm. And if we can start loving strangers in proactive ways, and that starts by literally saying, hi, how you doing? Looking up from your cell phone, opening the door for people. It's funny. Some people say, why is opening the door even important? The manners are, it's been said before, I don't know who said it, but manners are the social grease of this machine. It really is. And someone once said, how many blessings are you missing by not smiling? That's huge. And if you think about it, you might be in a fine mood, but you don't smile at someone, they're going to take that as a negative. So you could frown at someone, they think you don't like them. You walk by without a smile, they think maybe you don't like them. But you have to put that extra active love and say, hi, human, I acknowledge you. And I'm going to acknowledge you with a smile, a point, a wave, and a see you later. I don't even have to say anything. I could do it all with my eyes. But that what I'm getting at to answer your question is, can we have this relational service instantly occur with the stranger who's right in front of us before they're even fallen down? Mm-hmm. So that by the time they fall down, we already know that we're relational to them. And I'm going to do one little math problem for you. It's called love math. I love this because it's called love math, I guess. Anyway, imagine this. You have a society with 100 people. And in the society right now, the current way it rolls is basically they say, hey, take care of you, number one first, and maybe your family, hook up your family, you know, and maybe your friends. So right now I have one major ally, myself, one major support thing out of 99, I mean, out of 100. Then maybe I have four or five friends who are friends. So I might have 5 out of 100 people looking out for me, supporting me, right? What if we flipped it? What if we actually said, why don't you make sure that the 99 are safe, sound, and happy before the one? Think about that. Everyone would go from having 1 to 5 allies and support systems to 99. 99. So when you talk about the net, that's the net right there. is that if I walk, go, sure, hey, are you okay? You're safe and sound. Make sure everyone else is in the room safe and sound. That means they're all doing it to me too. They're doing it to my kids. They're doing it to my mother. They're doing it to everyone. And so love math, loving strangers, that's what it's all about, is actually learning how to love strangers unconditionally and proactively. And why? And why are we doing the do-good-a-thon? And why are we going to the party? Because action is contagious. And if you are not sparking that, then you might actually be spreading the kind of contagious action that keeps us stuck where we are. So I'd hate to say it, or I'd love to say it, because I don't want to use the word hate, but here's the deal. We have work to do. Mm-hmm. We have corrective action to do. And I, one person once said, you know, from going from each one to each one, let's go to each one teach two. And if you see something bad in the neighborhood happen, you might have to, like, if you see someone cut down a tree, you might have to plant three trees to make up for that one tree. And so what I'm asking everyone to do with the Do-Good-A-Thon and just in life is turn up the volume. If you're a positive person, be intentional and loud about it so that those right on the sidelines can join into this thing. A lot of times when I'm doing this work, people say, I already do this. I already am a good person. I say, I know, we need you to be louder for the people on the edge. And I'm not here to convince you, Pastor Emma, because I have a feeling you are a wonderful person. But what I get to think about this is in almost every argument, especially on social media and in public, you might not change the mind of the person you're talking to, but all of the people around this conversation can maybe take some insight from what we're doing. So that's why turn up the volume on your positive service. Put it on. I get it. Some people want to do service without lauding themselves, but every once in a while, put on your social media how you're getting involved in the community so that those people who want to learn how know how to do it. We show our food, let's show our service. Let's get people jealous about how much we're serving.
So I'm going to tell you a story that would blow your mind. And if I was home, I'd have a visual, but I'm not at home right now. It feels like about a million years ago, but it really wasn't. We actually have met before. We met at an event in Wilmington that was held down in a basement at a church. And I have a starfish magnet on my fridge that says, Michael, age 7, never met him. And someone has a magnet that says, Laura, age, I'm not going to say because that's my mom. So yes.
Mine is blowing. For all of our audience members at home, that is the mind being blown.
Yeah. So when I was talking to Ken right before we started recording, I was like, is this the guy? And I was like, well, we'll find out. So when you were telling that story,
is the guy. Like,
this is the guy.
Or that it's the crew. It's the right group. We are a collective action. And for our audience at home, you are not sitting in front of that star, but you knew the name on there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that shows the power of what we're trying to do with this exchange. I'll run into people 5, 10, we've been doing it now. Actually, the president has done a starfish, the president of the United States. But you will run into people, hey, I got Marcus. And I'm like, mm-hmm, great. I don't know who Marcus is. Who are you? And they'll say, I'm the starfish guy. Oh, right. Your starfish is Marcus. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Emma, that just made me so happy.
Yes.
And you know, the goal is that everyone in Wilmington eventually will have that star, and then everyone will be taken care of in Wilmington proactively.
Yeah. So whenever I open my freezer and get my ice cream out or whatever it is that I'm getting out of there, I think, you know, I remember that story and I remember the connection and being really intentional about, I may never meet that person. I don't know their last name. It doesn't matter, but to say we are connected. So yes, I'm so glad that we put this together.
And not only that, I think what you're realizing is that you said, I may never meet that person.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue you meet that person every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person that we run into is somebody's starfish.
Right.
And interconnected to the large starfish that we all are.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we start seeing everyone as that person on your refrigerator, what was it? Something 7? You just said
his name is Michael, and he had written 7. Michael. That was his age.
Yes, Michael 7. Yeah, mm-hmm. Michael 7-year-old. Yeah. Everyone is attached to Michael, and mm-hmm, and that's what we're trying to get the audience here to hear. What we're saying is that if we all start loving those strangers that we run into, wherever it is, right in front of us, as if they are our loved one, that is how we get to our loved one being treated that way. because action's contagious, we have to be the contagious action. We have to be the change. It's not original or new, but it is true. This has been awesome. I do have to run because I'm going to make an announcement. Our Lions Club is meeting tonight. And for anyone who's interested in service, the Lions Club is an international group. There are Lions Clubs in over 200 countries, 1.4 million members around the world. And each club creates its own service projects, but is supported by the larger club. And I am a member of the Bellefonte Lions Club, but there are Lions Clubs all throughout Delaware. And the reason why I'm mentioning it is because in this world of service, there's so many different levels to do it. You can be at the level where you read to someone over the internet, or if you're someone who really wants to get involved in service and planning service, and then around a whole group of people who are all about service, well, Lions Clubs is something I would suggest. I think there's also Rotary Clubs, Kiwanis Clubs, churches, mosques. Most of these places have synagogues. They all have service components. But what I love about the Lions Club is that we have members of all of them. All of those different denominations are all welcome at the Lions Club World of Service. So join whichever one you feel more comfortable with. But go out and do service as a group with people. It's really, really rewarding. And you also find out, I know for a fact that there are people on all sides of the political spectrum in our very Lions Club. But when we are serving side by side for each other, that's when we realize that we're actually 99% more aligned in our goals than we are separated. And we're not pushing those separations as the things to focus on. We focus on what connects us together, which is helping others. And so it's been a real eye opener to me, for people who I might have said, hey, they don't get this. No, that's not true. Everyone has their own way to it. And service is a way that we can connect no matter where we lie or what we look like.
Awesome. So thank you so much to Scott Michaels for sharing his story and his work to inspire good in the world. We hope that whether you are local or listening later, whoever you are, wherever you find yourself, that you will do good in the places where you are in the ways that you can. Friends, we are thankful for each and every one of you, for the work that you are doing in the world, for the love that you are showing. And keep doing that, and y'all keep being inspired and talk to inspiring people. Thanks, and we'll see you next episode.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Riverfront Church Podcast. You can connect with us online at riverfrontwilmo.com or on Facebook. Just search for Riverfront Church in Wilmington, Delaware. May God meet you where you are and lead you where you are meant to go.